Take your Bibles, go to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. And we've been working our way through. I have down that this is lesson 15. Doesn't mean that I've been off on my counts before, but we went through 13 through 16, and then last week we looked at that sharp two-edged sword, and we found out it was just a beautiful testimony of God declaring the power of His Word. And so, look at verse 17, and it says here, chapter 1, verse 17, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death." Now, we're going to look tonight at the phrase, the keys of hell and of death. But I want you to think about something. John is being shown the Lord Jesus 60 years after he saw Jesus crucified and risen again. Now he's seeing him in his glorified body, and the first words that Jesus speaks to John, I know God is showing him the revelation, and he's shown him, you know, hair white like wool, but this is the Lord Jesus talking to John for the first time. And it's just beautiful that he says here, "I am the first and the last," just like he said at the first part of the chapter. And then he says, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore." In the first chapter of the book that reveals Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God declares Jesus conquering death four times. You're in chapter 1. Look at verse 4. Ready? "John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace," ready, "from him which is and which was and which is to come." He's saying, I was here, I was crucified, buried, rose again, I am, and then I'm coming again. That's verse 4. Look at verse 5. He says it again. "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and," ready, "the first begotten of the dead." And we looked at that little phrase, and we learned that phrase means he is the first one who ever died and rose from the dead to never die again. He wasn't the first person resurrected, right? Lazarus had been resurrected. There had been other people resurrected, but he's the first person risen from the dead to never. That's why he was the first begotten from the dead. So there's another statement about the resurrection. Look at verse 8. "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come." There it is again, the Almighty. That's a statement. I'm the one that died, came, died, rose again, and the one that's coming again. Now look at verse, we read it, but look at verse 18. "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." In all of history, now that's four times in one chapter that is showing us who Jesus is, where God says, I want, not, you can't, you remember what I told you? Anytime something's repeated in the Bible, it's God's volume knob. God's turning it up. He doesn't repeat for filler, right? So he's saying, I want you to understand who I am. Think with me just for a second as we go soul winning. In all of history, there's only one person who rose from the dead, never to die again, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one. There are no choices to make. Only one overcame death. That's why there's only one way to heaven. You understand? That's why, you know, sometimes, you know, we'll talk to people and say, I'm researching religion. I'm checking. What is there to check it out? There's nobody else that rose from the dead. Please don't tell me you're looking into Buddha. You know what I mean? You want that funny, stinky stuff in your house with a fat guy that, you know, showing his belly button all the time? That's gross. You know what I mean? They call him Buddha Bagel. what do you mean you're figuring out and studying world religions to figure out what you... There's nothing to study. There's only one that overcame death. So I like this. This is the Lord Jesus telling us, I want you to know I'm he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Then look at the phrase, and have the keys of hell and of death. Okay, so think with me just for a second. Keys. Keys open doors, okay? To places or locations. And somebody said, well, I thought Peter had the keys. Remember, we looked at Peter in Sunday school on Sunday, and Peter was given the keys by Jesus. But wait a second. When you read Matthew 16 and 18, what keys? Okay? It says, Matthew 16, 19, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven," not of hell and death. Okay? Only Jesus has those. Okay? But he said, "I'll give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven," the kingdom of heaven. So Peter was appointed to be the spokesperson or head of the apostles by the Lord. And the apostles were given the authority to pen the New Testament scriptures with confirming signs and wonders. Okay? But Peter was given the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And that means what? It's a different Bible study, but in Acts 2, Peter was the first to preach to the Jews the gospel of the risen Savior. And in Acts 10, Peter was the first to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Then Paul would get, you know, take over and become the apostle of the Jews. So when it comes to the keys, I know as far as some might say, well, wait a second, I thought Jesus gave Peter the keys. That was with the keys of the kingdom of heaven. That was for preaching the gospel to the world. But he says, "I have the keys of hell and of death." Now, think just for a second. As you look at the last four words of verse 18, Revelation 1:18, hell and death, that would be a reference to a place, not people. Okay? You say, are you sure? You're in the book of Revelation. Go to chapter 20. Go to chapter 20. And look at verse 14. Okay, Revelation chapter 20, and look at verse 14. Ready? And it says, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. Now, if I take Revelation 1 and Revelation 20, and I let the Bible teach me, it appears that death is in reference to the body, that which corrupts in the grave. And hell is in reference to the soul that burns forever in hell. Okay? So death is in reference to the physical body. Hell would be in reference to the soul that suffers in the fire. You say, well, where's the spirit? Remember, a dead, lost person only has a body and a soul. Their spirit is dead. How come they have to get born again? Now, if you're saved, you have a body, soul, and a spirit, right? That's the part of you that got saved. But a lost person has a body and a soul, but their spirit's gone. Until they get saved, right? That's where God comes to dwell. So death is in reference to the body. Hell is in reference to the soul. And this is what I believe Revelation 20:14 is saying. Nobody escapes hell. Whoever was in death and hell, all of it is thrown or cast into the lake of fire. Nobody who is lost escapes the lake of fire. They're going from a spiritual place of burning hell into a literal lake of brimstone and liquid lava for eternity. That's the lake of fire. Okay? So hell and the lake of fire aren't the same. But now, when you read Revelation chapter 1, and it's hard, I think some people, because of the stupid internet, there's two misunderstandings that are not scriptural and cause confusion about death and hell. Okay? Here we go. Why don't you take your Bible and go to Acts chapter 2, and we'll get there in just a minute. Okay? There's two misunderstandings that cause confusion that shouldn't be, because I don't know how you can read your Bible and come up with this stuff. And the only reason I know they come up with this stuff, Joyce Myers and all that, is because they don't read their Bibles. Okay? But the first misunderstanding is Joyce Myers and many of the Pentecostal crowd teach Jesus went to hell to suffer after he died on the cross for our sins. In other words, they say he suffered on the cross and then he went and suffered in hell. That's a false teaching. That's why he cried out, "It is finished," because the payment had been paid on the cross. He spiritually and physically suffered on the cross, but he didn't physically suffer on the cross and then go to hell to spiritually suffer. No, all the wrath of God was poured on him on the cross. And it says in 1 Peter, he bore our sins in his body on the tree, not in hell. Jesus didn't burn in hell. That's the stupidest teaching I've ever heard, but it's all over the internet and stuff like that. That's a misunderstanding. Next, so that's the first one, okay? That's the first false teaching. The next false teaching is they say because Jesus cried out, "It is finished," on the cross and fully paid for all of our sin, that he never went to hell, okay? And that's wrong also. So some teach he suffered in hell, and some teach that he never went to hell. And it might be help. I think they're both extreme and goofy. Take your Bible and go to Acts chapter 2. And look at how God uses Psalm 16. And look at Acts chapter 2. Look at verse 21. And this is Peter's sermon. Watch this. It says, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Then, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of," there's that word, "death, the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." So, here we go. Let's use verse 24. Jesus went to the place of death, but death couldn't hold him, right? I think it tried. I think that would be cool to watch, you know. I can't touch him. But death could not hold on to him. All right, and we'll see why here. Watch this, look at verse 25. "For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face." Do y'all see the word "always"? "I foresaw the Lord always." That means that is David prophesying in Psalm 16, 800 years before Jesus comes, okay? And he said, "I foresaw the Lord always before my face." That's in reference to the resurrection to never die again. You say, "Are you sure?" Let's read the passage. But he's quoting Psalm 16. Ready? It says, "I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope." Watch, verse 27, "because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." This is all a prophecy of Jesus. Not seeing corruption, which is what happens to the body, and his soul not being left in hell. Now keep in mind, just because Jesus went to hell doesn't mean he burned in the fires. He went to the location of hell. That plainly says, but just because he went down into hell doesn't mean he went into the fire. He visited the location, and we'll look at that here in just a second. But this is plainly talking about the Lord Jesus. Thou, verse 28, "Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance." So, here we go. Jesus Christ was in the grave 3 days and three nights, and his body never saw corruption. And if his soul wasn't left in hell, then that means he visited hell and then left, because God wouldn't leave his soul in hell, right? So we're just taking the Bible phrases. Now look at verse 31. "He seeing this," I'm in Acts chapter 2, "he seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses." So, here we go. You ready? Here's a prophecy of Psalm 16 being preached by Peter in Acts 2. So the prophecy is being preached about Jesus rising from the dead and what would take place when he is crucified and risen from the dead. So, Jesus died on the cross. He was buried 3 days and three nights. So his body was in the grave. His soul visits hell. Then his body left the grave without seeing corruption. His soul, not being left in the place of hell, ascends with his body. And then that same soul and body is coming again when he returns. Okay? There's a message on our website, and this is what it's called. I preached it 2 years ago, and it's called "What Jesus Did Between His Death and His Resurrection." Now, it's a full hour long, okay? But we went through the Bible, and we looked at everything Jesus did from the time he gave up the ghost till the time he rose again. And that, it was kind of fitting at that time, but the name of the message is called "What Jesus Did Between the Death and the Resurrection." Now, in Luke 16, okay, as a matter of fact, go ahead and go there, all right? In Luke 16, there's the story of the rich man who was a Jew that went to hell, and Lazarus who went to paradise, or Abraham's bosom. So Lazarus, okay, here we go. Look at verse 22. Ready? Luke 16:22. And it came to pass when the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus. And how come it says Abraham's bosom, and it doesn't say the Lazarus went to heaven? That's because the only way you get to heaven is by putting your faith in the Jesus dying for you, being buried and rose again, the gospel, and that hadn't happened yet. Jesus is telling this story before he dies on the cross. So Lazarus can't get to heaven yet. But when he dies, he goes to a place where he can see the rich man burning and the rich man can see him. Okay? But now, but one's burning and one isn't. Okay? So they're not in the exact same place, but they're in a location where they can see each other. All right? Now, Lazarus' body dies, okay? And his soul goes down to paradise. You say, are you sure? Take your Bible real quick and go to Matthew 12. Now, I think some of these, I know some of these we've looked at before. And if you've never seen these verses before, don't tell me, okay? Because we've looked at these before, all right? However, watch again the phrasing. Look at verse 39, Matthew 12:39. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. You know, here's a thought. Somebody said, well, a man can't live for 3 days and 3 nights in a whale's belly. Who said he lived? Read chapter 3. He prayed from hell, right? Said he had seaweed. If he was, I don't know. I just know God prepared a special fish, whale fish, okay? In Jonah chapter 1, a special fish was prepared to swallow Jonah. And if he was a picture of Jesus, who's to say he did live in the whale? Maybe he was dead and then resurrected. He was a picture of the resurrection, so I don't know. It doesn't say. But when people argue stupid stuff, you can't help but little things that make you go, watch this. So watch. So shall, verse, at the end of verse 40, it says, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights. Where? In the heart of the earth. That tells me when Jesus went to lead captivity captive, when he died on the cross, he went down. To where? To the middle of the earth. We have another sermon on the internet. It's called The Location of Hell. And somebody said, well, there's so many Bible verses that point to hell is the center of the earth. And we went all the way through that, and that's a pretty wild journey. But hell is in the center of the earth. That's why when the earth explodes, in Revelation 20, there was found no place for them, and there was nothing but a throne. And all those who are burning right now get their resurrected bodies, and then the burning stops for a little bit before they're cast into the lake of fire. Okay, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. So where did Jesus go when he died? Listen closely. His body was put in the grave. His spirit was in the possession of his Father. Because Luke 23:46 says, into thy hands I commend my spirit. So his body went in the grave, his spirit went to his Father, and where did the soul of Jesus go? His soul goes down to the lower parts of the earth, into the middle of the earth. Now, I tell you what, go to Luke 23. Ready? All of this is from Revelation 1 when Jesus said, I have the keys of hell and death. And he's the only one that does. So what's he, what I think everything is in reference to, I am the one who has the right to judge because I died for mankind's sins, rose again, and I have the judgment and authority to send men to hell. Because that's what's going to happen at the end of the book of Revelation. Jesus is just establishing himself as the judge and declaring it. Look at Luke 23. Ready? I know you know this story, but watch. Look at verse 42. And it says, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. So Jesus died at 3 p.m. We know that. He died. He hung on the cross. They crucified him at 9. He hung on the cross. It went dark at noon. And then at 3, he cried out, it is finished, and gave up the ghost. And then what happened? They said, we don't want them hanging on the cross. Can you break their legs? The soldiers came by, to break the two bones here. You know, they'd whack them so that they couldn't stand anymore to take a breath. And then they would suffocate and die real quick. So they come by, and Jesus was already dead. So nobody knows when that time frame was. But let's say Jesus died at 3. And let's say the soldiers came by, the two thieves on either side, to break his legs at 4:30, maybe 5 o'clock. Right around. It had to be before 6. Okay, we do know that. But when? Doesn't say. That means Jesus went into the lower parts of the earth. His soul is going to visit hell. But the day he dies, he's going to meet this thief in paradise. And in paradise, they see into hell. And in hell, they see into paradise where they see a cross. So paradise was in the heart of the earth. All right? You say, how do you know? Because Jesus said so. Okay? Then, how long did Jesus visit the place of hell on earth? Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Watch this. Verse 8. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, watch verse 9. What is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. So, what was one of the first things that Jesus did when he died on the cross? He went down into the lower parts of the earth, and it says the first thing he did was he went to the paradise where Lazarus was. Now, I have a hard time picking. That means everybody that had died from Adam, David, and Abraham, and Noah, all of them were in this paradise. I have a hard time picturing Jesus just showed up, boink, and went, we're out of here, boys. You can't tell me they all were like, oh, he's here. I don't know how long that took, okay? But I think they were worshiping him, and he's come to set them free, right? They're in paradise. They're not suffering. But Jesus comes, and I don't think he howdied with them all, and I don't think they fellowshipped, but I think they had a time of worship, and then, so that's the first thing Jesus did. Then, before he went up, 1 Peter, we won't go there tonight, but 1 Peter chapter 3 says he went and preached unto the spirits in prison that were disobedient in the days of Noah. So those that perished in the flood, you say, why would he preach to them? I don't know. We'll find out when we get to heaven. I just know what it says. So he met with those in paradise. Then those that are burning and suffering over in the flames, it says he went and preached to. He didn't preach to all of them. He preached to those that were disobedient in the days of Noah. He preached to them. I don't know how long that took. So he met, preaches. He's not suffering in hell. He's preaching to those that are burning. All right? Then take your Bible and go to Hebrews chapter 2. Remember, when the book of Revelation is the capstone of 65 books that God gives us in the Bible. And the whole purpose is to show Jesus. So when Jesus says, this is who I am and this is what I do, you learn real quick in all of these phrases, it links you to the whole Bible, not just the New Testament. It links you all the way back to when God spake the world into. And everything is being tied together here. So when he says, I have the keys of hell and of death, you know there's more to it than just something he's holding in his hand. He's saying, here's how I want you to know me. So look at Hebrews chapter 2. Watch this. For as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same that, watch, through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. What a wonderful verse to mark in your Bible. What was the devil's power over people before Jesus died on the cross? You say it was sin. The Bible says it was the fear of death. Why does a cult get started? They're looking for life everlasting. They're fearing dying. And that's what Satan, that says his power. You know what happened on the cross? Jesus took the devil's main power, death, and the fear of it, and beat him with it. And conquered it. Now, when you read verse 14, which is just a beautiful verse, just to think about, through death, he might destroy him. He destroyed the devil that had the power of death. And of course it says that is the devil. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now, so what did Jesus do when he went to hell to visit it. He met with those in paradise. I think they worshiped him. Then he went to those that were burning and he preached to them. And then before he led captivity captive, as he walked past death, he said, "Give me the keys." It says, "I can't hold you. I can't. Just give me the keys. I'm never dying again. And I'm the only one that now Satan no longer has that. Fear not him that it can, you know, only destroy the body, but fear him who hath power to cast both soul and body into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." He said, "I am the one that now has the power because I died on the cross." Hebrews chapter 2, right? So then he walked past hell. You say, hell, I don't know if these are people. I just know he has the keys and he got them from somebody. He whapped Satan, right? Destroyed the devil. I love that. When he died on the cross, what did Jesus say in Genesis 3:15? That he would crush the head of the serpent. Satan was crushed on Calvary. Okay? Then he walked past hell, and before he led captivity captive, he said, "Give me the key. I am the one now with the authority to send someone to hell." All of that authority was taken. He has the keys of hell and of death. That tells me tonight there should be nothing you're fearing if you're saved. The greatest fear of mankind was the fear of dying, and the devil used it. Tonight I'm saved. You've trusted Jesus. I understand, okay, death is unknown, but death should not be terrifying, right? It's unknown, because the unknown scares all of us as far as, well, because I've never done that before. But it has no power. Aren't you glad? Okay, here we go. It shouldn't. And you know, with this COVID thing, all that I've noticed is the fear of death is what drives them. I understand that. They're lost. When they die, the burning starts. Their conscience bears witness. Romans chapter 2, that this life is all they have. They need to get saved. I understand. But for a Christian to fear death, I don't know. I like what Brother Coral, when he said when he came here, "Glad you got that. Glad you're putting colloidal silver in the air. But there's going to have to be some time you trust God. Because after this virus, there's going to be another one. And after that virus, there's going to be another one. And it'll probably be more deadly than this one." And they had viruses. Our forefathers, they've always had viruses. We live with over 130 viruses now that will never leave. This is just one more. Do you understand? This is one more virus. At some point, you're going to have to trust the Lord. Well, what happens if I die? If you'll serve God and love the Lord, you won't die until God's done with you. Now, you want to play with the wrong crowd. You want to do things that are not in God's will for your life. You want to listen to the wrong music and all that. You submit yourself to the devil's crowd and you become, then I don't know when you're going to die. You understand? But if you'll love the, I can tell you this, based on Bible authority, if you'll love the Lord, stay in His Word, stay in church. Amen. You give yourself to the Lord, you won't die until God's done. There should be no fear of death. Amen. And I love making this statement because this helps me. Amen. There should be nothing I'm scared of. Jesus conquered all of that. He has the keys of hell and death. The only one I need to keep my eyes on, Lord. The only one I need to make happy tomorrow is the Lord. Amen. That's it. You say, that's how you sum it all up. That's the sum. Isn't that wonderful? Hebrews chapter 2. And let me say this. You know why I repeat it? So you can tell other Christians. We're living in a day of fear. People are manipulated and trolled. It all starts with salvation. But isn't you should be able to tell each other, don't fear, don't fear, trust. And there shouldn't be anything that scares you. Well, what if, what if, what if? Remember? That's how the devil works. There should be nothing. When I'm right with God and when I'm yielded to the Lord, I don't fear anything. I like making this statement. I'm immortal. Amen. And I can look at you and say, you're here for a reason. You're in this time frame for a reason. We're close to the Jesus coming for a reason. God knows all about you. Just trust the Lord and say, you know what? Yeah, I don't know what tomorrow holds. But praise God, I know who holds and everything will be all right. All I need to do is get close to the only one with hell and of death. I hope you. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your, Lord, it's just a beautiful, bless these people, please. Lord, may you be able to.